You have your scriptures. We're not going to be doing Matthew today. We are getting ready for a special season. A special season always. This is a special season. Actually, it's my favorite time of the year. Those of you in California, you miss, I love it out here, but you do miss the spring, the fall in the East Coast. There is really nothing like it. Some people, I just got back from France last week, and people said, what was the weather like there? For some reason, everyone's always concerned about weather. But when I go away with Fran, we don't worry about the weather. We just have a great time. But the weather was very East Coast, fall. It was a short sleeve, thin jacket, every day. It was beautiful. The leaves are turning, and it's just so beautiful. That's my favorite time of the year, the fall. I always loved it in the East because the air seems to smell different. There's a change. It's just wonderful. My favorite time of the year, not just because the leaves are turning and it's beautiful, but because I'm a sports nut. And I could have been polite and said fanatic, but no, I'm a sports nut. I love sports. And the fall probably is the greatest time of the year for sports. I think it is. You might have a question, a different time, but I think the fall is. Because for me, baseball is, I grew up with baseball and I love baseball. And the fall meant the World Series. It was when I got to watch the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan, what can I tell you? Whoever heard of the Yankees? I'm sorry. They're okay, they're nice, and I know you could come back and say, but they're playing in the fall and the Yankees aren't. Anyway, but we're not going to go there. But normally the Yankees are playing and the Angels are probably one of the best, but we're not going to go there. So I got to see the Yankees on television and I got to see my hero, Sandy Koufax, Dodger guy. Anyway, so the fall was great to see baseball being played. Very seldom did I get to see my Philadelphia Phillies play. I'm from Philly, so I may get to see them this fall, but I don't know yet. It's not in yet. But so I loved the fall. Football got started. We football people, we like football. So that gets started in September, and it's a real exciting time, especially since football's become like an America's sport. It used to be baseball, then it was football. The basketball teams start to get going, and they start playing. We start getting interest in the Lakers and even the hockey. There's probably no hockey fans here. I'm sorry if I've insulted. Yeah, I know. Ah, good. All right. Yeah, all right. I know I insult, the whole world insults hockey fans. But anyway, so the fall is good because all the sports are being played and the leaves are turning. It's fun. But also it's a very religious time. It's a very, very spiritual time. These are the special Jewish holidays. And Jewish people really get excited whether they understand the holidays or not. And most of my Jewish people do not understand their Jewish holidays. They really don't. They don't have a clue what they're all about. You know more about the Jewish holidays, and you're going to learn more in these next 2 weeks than they know. But it's an exciting time for them. It is what they call the Jewish New Year. It is, but it isn't. They celebrate it as the New Year, even though it's the seventh month on the Jewish calendar. Strange. The New Year, actually, for Jewish people that they don't know, is Passover. That's the first of the Jewish months. But that would be the religious New Year, and this is the civil New Year, and I'm confusing everyone. But anyway, so the Jewish people get excited because these are the fall feasts, and they're celebrating the New Year, which we're going to learn all about on Monday night. Some people have asked me, every year, never fails, in September, they say, what are the holidays all about? As I taught last year, don't you remember? I have no clue. What are the holidays all about? And then I've heard someone once say to me, well, how does Shabbat fit in with the Jewish holidays? So what I'd like to do actually, as warming up for the Jewish holidays, I'd like today to give you an overview of all the Jewish holidays with Shabbat fixed in there, where Shabbat actually does fit in there, because it's not just man-made. God made this up in the scriptures, and we're going to see that God gave a plan. The Jewish holidays are specifically for Jewish people, but they're also for believers. And we're going to see God wants us to understand about all these holidays because he gave it to the Jewish people, really, in a sense, to show us the plan of the ages. And God begins, and we're going to see God takes us through the Jewish holidays, the plan of the ages from way back all the way to the future kingdom. And God lays it all out for us. So if you have your outlines, I want you to take them out, and I want you to fill this in. When we talk about the Jewish holidays, I want to look at all the Jewish holidays, if I can, briefly, an overview, except two. I'm going to look at all the holidays that are commanded by God, not the two Jewish holidays that we observe that God didn't command us. There are two of them. God did not command for us to observe Hanukkah. It just worked out in history. We saw the hand of God deliver us. It is mentioned in the Bible. You'll have to wait till December to find out all about that. But it's not commanded to observe Hanukkah. The other Jewish holiday is not commanded is Purim. We're not commanded by God to observe that. We were asked by Mordechai. Throw that person out. Get him out of here. Okay. Anyway, we were asked by Mordechai throughout the age. That's good. All right, forget it. We were asked by that man, the good one, to observe Purim. So, and you find that actually in the book of Esther. Good, thank you. Anyway, we were asked in that book to observe that holiday of Purim. So Jewish people do. But we weren't commanded to by God. So what I'd like us to do, and fill this in, that the Jewish holidays, or the feasts of Israel, are God's prophetic plan. We see his plan throughout the ages, his prophetic plan of what he's going to do for his people. They have a purpose and a plan. God didn't just randomly pick holidays. He did it on purpose to give us a plan throughout the ages. And I want us to travel through time with God and do follow these Jewish holidays. Now, it's going to break down very, very easy in your outlines. Really, I broke it down into three areas, and we'll go through them. But one is the Shabbat. Two is the first coming of the Messiah. You don't have to write anything down right now. I'm going to give it all to you in a minute, all right? I'm just giving you an overview. First is Shabbat. Second, we're going to see the first coming of Messiah. And third will be the second coming of the Messiah. And the Jewish holidays fit in there. Now, there's two ways of actually laying it out for you. If you look up here, I can deal with Shabbat, then the first coming of Messiah, then the second coming of Messiah. That's how we're going to basically deal with it. But Jewish people outline it differently, believe it or not. They really always put Shabbat in the middle, because everything revolves around Shabbat. Everything. Shabbat is the most important of all the Jewish holidays. Even though the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur, the most important of all the Jewish holidays is Shabbat. 52 celebrations a year. That is the most important of all the Jewish holidays. So whenever Jewish people diagram it, they would put Shabbat right in the middle. Then what we'll do is, on this side of Shabbat, we have the first coming of the Messiah, three Jewish holidays. And on this side of Shabbat, we'll have the second coming of the Messiah, three more Jewish holidays. And God does it purposely there. So what I'd like us to do is follow along as God commands us to do this. And God tells us to observe these holidays. Where is it found? Everyone? Leviticus. Where? Leviticus 23. Okay. So we're going to go through some of Leviticus 23. And you're going to see the way God outlines it. The first thing we want to deal with is the Sabbath or Shabbat and its significance. Follow along with me in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." He's laying out the Jewish holidays. "For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest. A holy convocation, you shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings." The significance, and people don't understand the significance of Shabbat. Shabbat, the significance of really is, and you can make these notes, is one, Jewish people on the Sabbath are supposed to remember the creation account. That's what you're supposed to do on Shabbat. You're supposed to rest and remember that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And it's a memorial of creation. That's the first purpose of Shabbat. The second purpose that God told the Jewish people, what else they're supposed to do on Shabbat, is they are supposed to remember the Exodus, when God redeemed our Jewish people, brought them out of Egypt, and set them free. That's what Jewish people are called to do on Shabbat. Remember those things. The creation, the Exodus. They're also supposed to remember that God rested. Now, that's really an absurd thought, because God never rests. He upholds the universe and every molecule. But what it means is really we're supposed to think that for 6 days God created and he shaped and he molded and shaped the world. And on the seventh day he stopped, ceased from that work. So we say he rested. And that's what we're really supposed to do on Shabbat. Going to synagogue, going to congregation was never heard of. The way Jewish people celebrated it, you didn't work, you didn't travel. It always began Friday night and lasted till Saturday night. The Shabbat has never changed. It is not Sunday. Never has been, never is, and never will be. Shabbat is Saturday, starting Friday night, ends on sundown Saturday night, as the scripture tells us. And that's what Jewish people did. They never worked, and they didn't go to synagogue. You're supposed to stay in your homes. Remember the creation. Remember the Exodus. Remember that God rested. It's a joyful time. It's not a sad time. It's a really rejoicing time. You get a real beautiful feel when you see Fiddler on the Roof. And they prepare for Friday night, Shabbat. How beautiful it is. And it really is a beautiful and a holy time. Today, though, things are different. Since actually the Jewish people came back from Babylonian captivity back in around 539 BCE. And then they started synagogue life. And it became different with Jewish people walking to synagogue. But we think today, and some of us, not everyone, when I see in the New Covenant, we are not under an Old Testament law anymore. I study the Old Testament law and I learn principles from it. But I'm not bound to that law. That law was for a time period for Israel. So I'm not bound to that law. And in that sense, I'm really not bound to Shabbat. But I look at it and learn the principles from it. There's good, healthy. We can't observe Shabbat like God wanted back then. And we're not under that law. You see, in the Old Covenant, if the Jewish people didn't observe Shabbat, he cursed them. He disciplined them. He did all kinds of things to them for not doing it. Today, it's a good principle to take a day rest. We might as well do it on Saturday if we, that's our congregation. But we're not bound to it. Because I don't see it commanded for us in the New Covenant anywhere. And I see there's a principle, and I want you to fill this in. It's fulfillment. I see a principle that's fulfilled in the Bible in Messiah himself. He is the Sabbath rest. He's the fulfillment of the Sabbath for us. I believe that. Not everyone here does. But I believe the Messiah is the fulfillment. And let me explain what I mean when I say, because it's a strange concept, when I say Messiah is our Sabbath rest. In the Messiah, he fulfills the Sabbath. Actually, Jewish people look forward to the future coming kingdom. When the Messiah will reign on the earth. He is what we call the Sabbath rest. In Messiah, we rest. Let me explain. Jewish people tell us today, the way you get into heaven, the way you earn favor with God, my Jewish people, the way they say you earn favor with God is you work. You do good deeds. You do mitzvot. You fast. You pray. You do good deeds. Then God has you enter into eternal life. That's not true. That's not true. We should do good deeds. We should fast, we should pray, we should do good deeds. But that doesn't get us into heaven. The Bible teaches us that faith in Yeshua the Messiah gets us into heaven. So in some sense, in fact, the Jewish people said to Yeshua in John chapter 6, we don't have it up there, but in John chapter 6, the Jewish people said to Yeshua, what must we do to do the works of God? Yeshua said, this is the work of God. Here it is. This is what you have to do. Believe on him whom God has sent. So when it comes to working my way into heaven, pleasing God, earning favor with God, merit with God, I cease from my labor. In Messiah, I rest. I put my trust in him. Because I put my trust in him, I cease from my labor of working and doing good deeds to get into heaven. In Messiah, I'm in. That doesn't mean I stop doing good deeds, because my whole life I'm going to work and do good deeds. Because the Bible teaches us, the way you get into heaven is you put your trust in Messiah. He's my Sabbath rest. Now God says, after you put your trust in Messiah, now you work, now you fast, you pray, you do good deeds for your rewards when you get to heaven. So in some sense, Messiah is a fulfillment of our Sabbath rest. Also, among our Jewish people, the Messiah is a picture of the future kingdom. Messiah comes back and he gives the whole world rest in what we call the messianic future kingdom. That's when we will cease from all our labor whatsoever. No more working. No more working for rewards in heaven in Messiah. So in Messiah, there's rest in every way. We rest now from our labor and working to get into heaven. We rest in the future because we'll be in the kingdom. But that doesn't mean I don't work today. Because I'm still working to please my Lord to get rewards when I get to heaven. In a sense, follow along with me. In the book of Hebrews, he touches just briefly on this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, he brought them into the land. Wasn't rest. Jewish people always look to the future kingdom for rest. If Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day, the future kingdom. So therefore, there remains still a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Everyone look up here. Over there. We will rest in the kingdom. With Messiah. I look forward to that day. when Messiah comes back, and I'll be in the kingdom with him. Who will be in the kingdom with him? Jewish, Gentile people that have put their trust in Yeshua the Messiah. I look forward to that great, great day. That's my Sabbath rest. There is a day of rest for the people of God, Jew and Gentile, who put their trust in him. But it also goes on to say, verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest, that's now, today, present. I've entered the rest already. What does it mean? It means I put my trust in Messiah, and I no longer have to work to get into heaven, to earn favor with God. I've entered the rest. It's all Messiah. That's what the Sabbath is really all about. Messiah is our rest. You want to observe Shabbat? That's great. Wonderful. You can't observe it like the religious Orthodox do. You can't. Everything you do, you break it. Driving here, you break it according to them. Everything you do, break it. But it is a day, and the principle is that we rest. Now, I dealt with Sabbath just a little bit. Now I wanted to give, remember in your outlines, over here, first coming of the Messiah. That's what we want to deal with now. And follow along with me. First appearance of the Messiah. The first of the Jewish holidays. Everyone look up now. We're going to deal with three over here in the first coming of Messiah. One, two, three. Then the second coming of Messiah. Four, five, six. All right? We've already looked at Shabbat. So follow along now. The first appearance of Messiah, the first of all the Jewish holidays is not Rosh Hashanah. The first of them is the Feast of Passover. That is during the first month, the Feast of Passover. We go on right in Leviticus chapter 23 because God just lays it right out for us. We see verse 4. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, that's in the springtime. That is not now. This is not the first month. A lot of times you tell Jewish people that this really is not the Jewish New Year, that it's really Passover. They don't believe you. It's right here in the Bible. The first month is Passover, during Passover. And it says, in the first month, on the 14th day of that month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. We're just reading the account here. Passover, everyone in this congregation knows. If I said to you, what is Passover in one word? Everyone says, what was that? Oh boy, right. I can get any congregation to speak in tongues just like that. It's just amazing. Just like that, I can get anyone. Okay, redemption. Redemption. That's the word. Redemption. Right? The word redemption is for Passover. That means it's when God redeemed our people. And he said, twilight is the Lord's Passover. But it says, for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no work at all. That's God telling the Jewish people to observe the holiday of Passover. That's the first one. And what does it really mean? The holiday? We know what took place on Passover. We celebrate it. It all begins with the death of the Passover lamb. This is a sacrifice of a lamb. Now, did God care about sacrifice of a lamb, a sheep, goat? No, not really. He cared about it because it was all a picture of what God was doing for the whole world. The Passover lamb was a picture of Messiah. When Yeshua walked on the earth, they said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It all begins with the death of Messiah, the Passover lamb. Jewish people observed this holiday. We see it in the book of Exodus. Follow along. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of the months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this... By the way, I have to stop for a minute because I'm saying first of the month and all that. You're going to start walking up to Jewish people and correcting them, saying, this is not the Jewish year, New Year. Don't do that. No. It is the Jewish New Year, okay? This is when we celebrate the Jewish New Year, even though it's the seventh month. Don't show how smart you are. Just tell them a happy New Year. Well, I'll tell you about that on Monday night what to do, but... This is actually the first of the month is Passover, and it says the first of the year. On the 10th of the month, they are to each one take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses which they eat. First Passover, they killed the lamb, put it on the doorpost, put it on the upper portion of the door. They were covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Now that, remember, is just a picture of the whole world, Jew and Gentile, who put their trust in the Passover lamb, Yeshua, are covered by the blood of the Messiah. That's the picture of Passover. That's what it really means. It's not just redemption of the Jewish people out of Egypt. It's redemption of Jew and Gentile from sin, the whole world. That's God's purpose intended for Passover. And many people miss it. And it says, verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that same night roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Verse 29, chapter 12 of Exodus. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night. Pharaoh said, rise up, get out, quick. Get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. So Passover, we understand. We should have a good, clear picture of what Passover is. Though it was given to the Jewish people, though it spoke of the Exodus, though it spoke of redemption for the Jewish people, the real meaning of Passover was Yeshua would die for the sins of the world, Jew and Gentile. It all begins with that. When was that fulfilled? 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua died for the sins of the world. We've said it week after week. It was not a surprise to Yeshua. They didn't come upon him without him knowing it. He willingly died for the sins of the world. Where do we see that actually portrayed best, fulfilled, even before it took place? And that's what we know in Messianic congregations is Isaiah 53. This is really the fulfillment, even before it took place, of the Jewish holiday of Passover. We read about it in Isaiah 53. Follow along. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. 750 years before Yeshua died, Isaiah the prophet said, the Messiah would come and die for the sins of the world. And it says, he would be pierced through for our transgression. He'd be crushed for all of our sins, our iniquities. The punishment, the chastisement of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, all of us are healed. All of us are like sheep. We've gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on the Passover lamb. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He would be oppressed. He would be afflicted. Yet he would not open his mouth like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like sheep that's silent before its shears. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was cut off. He would be taken away. And as for his generation, they would consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. That's the fulfillment of Passover. Yeshua. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53. Is there an application for Jew and Gentile? Well, of course there is. We look in the book of 1 Corinthians. The great rabbi Saul tells us how we should think of Passover. And he writes these words, strange words, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, clean out the old leaven. Now, if you're Jewish, everyone knows what that means. For a month before, what did the Jewish people do? They clean out the leaven from their houses. Everyone cleans out any kind of leaven. Breadcrumbs, cake crumbs, anything that has leaven. Change your dishes. You clean out all the leaven. That's what Jewish people did. Leaven was a symbol of sin. So Jewish people cleansed it all. Their house, they sacrificed the lamb and celebrated for a week long. This great rabbi, Saul, or we know him as Paul, it says, clean out that leaven so that you might be a new, fresh lump, just as in fact you are unleavened if you put your trust in Messiah. For the Messiah, our Passover, see the new covenant clearly tells us, Messiah is the Passover lamb. Messiah, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Well, we do every year, don't we? But he says something strange here. Not with the old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, the way we once were, lying, cheating, deceiving, stealing, being corrupt. That's the old leaven of malice and wickedness. Now we're believers. Now let's celebrate it different, he says. He says, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jew and Gentile that have put their trust in Messiah, we're supposed to celebrate Passover for a whole life long. Cleaning out the leaven, the dirt, the filth, the corruption in our life. You are already forgiven. Now cleanse your life more. That's, you're working with God. So that's the fulfillment. That's Passover. Now, Passover, everyone knows, one word everyone knows now, it's redemption. What's it speak of? Death of Messiah. Second Jewish holiday on the list. It's right in Leviticus. He goes on to the next one. Follow along. If you want to fill it in, wait a minute, okay? Follow along in Leviticus chapter 23. All of them are listed there. This would be the Feast of First Fruits. Nobody really understands the holiday First Fruits. Actually, look up here. I love the holiday of first fruits. Actually, it's my favorite. You say, boy, you pick a weird one. Everyone loves Passover, Sukkot. Everyone loves dinner. I love first fruits. It's my favorite, and nobody knows anything about it. I love it. Everything rests on the holiday, Jewish holiday of first fruits. Everything rests on, I should say Passover, the death. But anyway, everything really rests on the next holiday, which took place 3 days after the death of Messiah. The holiday of first fruits. It was an agricultural feast for the Jewish people. Actually, what they did was they would take the first fruits of the harvest. There had many harvests in Israel. They would take the first fruit, make cakes, wave it to God. Follow along. Leviticus 23, verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, say to them, when you enter into the land, which I am going to give you, and you reap all of its harvests, it's a harvest feast, when you reap the harvest, you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall, you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, for you to be accepted. On the day of the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the Jewish holiday here is the holiday of first fruits. What they did was they take the first fruits and they wave it to God. And you know what they did after they waved to God? They say, thank you, Lord. This is nice. We got the first fruits. But you know what the first fruits was? It was a guarantee. It was a promise. It was a pledge from God that in a few weeks, they're going to have a big harvest. This was just the beginning. This was the, it was, when they waved it, it was symbolic or the setting aside of the future harvest to come. And that was, that's all they knew about it. It was an agricultural feast. They first fruits to God. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest yet to be in the future. Well, that's nice. How does that apply to all of us? Where's the fulfillment in the Jewish holiday that's so special for me, actually, this Jewish holiday? Follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find the real meaning of this Jewish holiday, the harvest that yet to come. We read in First Corinthians 15, verse 14. If the Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is in vain. Now, this is a very simple verse. This great Rabbi Saul says, if the Messiah has not been raised, resurrected, then my preaching to you is a waste. You should all get up and leave right now. You should. I'm just teaching nonsense. If the Messiah was not raised, I am a fool, and so are all of you. It's useless. It's a waste. It's just a dream, a pipe dream that means nothing. If Messiah has not been raised. You see, it all falls on the resurrection of the Messiah. What does that have to do with the first fruits? What's going on? It says, if Messiah has not been raised, your faith is worthless. I'm really on the believers today, aren't I? Your faith is worthless. You're still lost and you're still in your sins. There's no hope, is what he's saying. Verse 20, but now let me tell you, Messiah has been raised from the dead. Look what he says. The first fruits of those who are asleep. You see, the picture of the Jewish holiday of first fruits, the first harvest that we wave to God, is a guarantee of the future harvest that they're going to get. But that's not the real meaning. The real meaning is Messiah's been raised. He's the first fruits. He guarantees that I'm going up. Because how do you know you're going to heaven? He's been raised. He's the first fruits. Therefore, I'm going with him. Larry, how can you be so confident? It all falls on whether he's been raised or not. If he is not, I'm not going up and I'm stupid. That's all. And you're blind and brainwashed. But Messiah has been raised. I love the way the rabbi puts it. Now the Messiah has been raised. He's the first fruits of all those who are asleep. If I die today while I'm preaching, you'd be sad. Just say, but Larry's happy. Because I will be raised in the future. Guaranteed. And it says, for since by a man, my great ancestor, by a man came death, Adam. By a man also came the resurrection of the dead, Messiah. For as in Adam we all die, so also in the Messiah we all shall be made alive in him, if we believe in him. But each in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits. 2000. See, the holiday, the Jewish holiday of first fruits, Jewish people observed it, Moses gave it. But a little after that, we see Yeshua was raised from the dead. That's the fulfillment of the Jewish holiday of first fruits. And that's our guarantee that we're going up. And he says, each in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, him first. After that, those who are Messiah at his coming. When he comes back, I'm going up. And so are you. If you're a believer. That's our guarantee. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God. I look forward to that day. Until then, we'll labor, we'll work, because we know there's a great future. The Jewish holiday of first fruits is fulfilled in the Messiah. That's our guarantee. That's the guarantee there's a future kingdom. That's the guarantee Israel has hope in the future. That's the guarantee for all of us to be in the kingdom. If Messiah has been raised, if not, So we have two Jewish holidays. One, Passover, which is, everyone, one word. Second Jewish holiday, first fruits. Okay, what's the one word? Resurrection. Good, okay. Third holiday takes place a little bit after that. Follow along with me. The Jewish holiday is called the Feast of Weeks, or in Jewish we say Shavuot, and in Greek you'll say Pentecost. Okay, that's the word for 50. Shavuot is the word for weeks or 7 weeks. We see it, follow along with me, in Leviticus 23, the command. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Everyone look up here. Messiah was sacrificed. I know some of you disagree with me, but we'll just say on Friday. He was resurrected 3 days later on Sunday, day after Shabbat. They were supposed to start counting from that point, the day after Shabbat. 7 weeks. 7 weeks would be how many days, everyone? Take your calculators out. I know, because we don't learn math anymore. Take it. 7 times 7, everyone? 49. The next day would be number 50. Pentecost. That's where you get the word 50. Well, that's a Jewish holiday. It's called Shavuot or Pentecost. It's the same thing. One just said in Greek, one said in English. You shall count the 50 days. And it says, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. 7 times 7, 49. Then it says, you shall count to the 50 days, to the day after the Sabbath, 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. That's the next Jewish holiday. So we saw Passover, first fruits, and the Jewish holiday of weeks. This was a holiday, another harvest, a special harvest. God gave rain. God gave blessings. He gave all kinds of fruit and all kinds, everything to Jewish people. But now, we see what really took place on this holiday. Follow along in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, third month after the Jewish people came out of Egypt, well, the Jewish people on Passover, what day, does anyone remember, call it out, what day they came out of Egypt? Pesach. Do you know what day that was? 14th. Okay, good. How many days in a Jewish calendar? Month. How many? 30. Okay, very good. 30. So, you'd have 16 days in 1 month. Then the second month would be another 30 days, 46. In the third month, probably 50 days later, when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, God gave. See, the holiday of weeks, Shavuot, is God gives. He gives the harvest. He gives the blessings. What did he give on the 50th day to Moses? His law. He gave the law to Israel to guide them, direct them, instruct them on how to live. And we read in Exodus chapter 19, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the very day that they came into the wilderness of Sinai, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen it, what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now then, if indeed you will obey my voice and keep my commandments and my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came, called the elders of the people. They sat before him, and let me see. And he set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded. And they said, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken to us, we will do. And Moses brought back these words, the words of the people, to the Lord. So on the Jewish holiday, the third of the Jewish holidays, which is the Passover, first fruits, weeks, God gives the harvest. Actually, it's called the holiday of the harvest. Holiday of weeks, called the holiday of Pentecost, the holiday of harvest. God gives. So he gave the harvest. Not only did he give the harvest, he gave them the law. But what was the fulfillment of this Jewish holiday? What was it really supposed to mean? Just the giving of the law? No, no. We see the fulfillment of the Jewish holiday. And we see it in the book of Acts chapter 2, what God would ultimately give the Jewish people. And he gave it to the apostles. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, the Jewish holiday of Shavuot, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance. God, on this holiday, the Jewish holiday, the fulfillment was he gave them the Spirit to enable them to have a relationship with God, to give them instructions, to understand God's law. On the Jewish holiday of Pentecost, he gave the law. on the fulfillment of it. He gave the Holy Spirit to Jew and Gentile. Now there's an application today. All those today, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, they come to some point and say, I want Messiah in my life. I'm separated from God. I've sinned against God. God sent the Messiah to die for me. I now want to put my trust in Him. The Bible says, in a sense, a number of things take place, but one of those is that you get the Holy Spirit living in you. In a sense, it's your day of Shavuot. It's your day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God comes to live in you. God always said He would give the Spirit to the nation of Israel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, moreover, to the nation of Israel, He says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. That's what God does on the Jewish holiday of Shavuot. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall be careful to observe all my ordinances. So we see these Jewish holidays. First, Passover, everyone, the one word. First fruits. Shavuot. Good, okay. Harvest, giving of the Spirit of God, whatever you want. I should have found a word for it. Okay, now, in the Jewish cycle here, that's the end of the first three. They have been completed and fulfilled 2,000 years ago. God did it on purpose to complete it. Death of Messiah, resurrection of the Messiah, giving of the Spirit, the Messiah sent His Spirit. They have been completed and fulfilled. Now there's a long pause. Months go by until the next Jewish holiday. And that's what we will celebrate Monday night. The next Jewish holiday on God's calendar, on God's prophetic plan. Now you gotta get this picture, everyone. Look up here. God is moving through time from the death of Messiah to the resurrection of the Messiah to the giving of the Holy Spirit. He's moving through time. The next Jewish holiday will be fulfilled and completed sometime in the future. We don't know when. On the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah. We see it's in God's calendar here. Follow along. Leviticus chapter 23, Rosh Hashanah. We read, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, at least we get our month straight here, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest. A reminder, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Now, the troublesome thing about Rosh Hashanah is, it doesn't say anything else about it. Just blowing of trumpets. And we're going to learn Monday night, the women learned the other day, the women are going to learn tomorrow. The trumpets signify all kinds of things. And Monday night we're going to see. Certainly we're going to talk about repentance on Monday night. But just for today, what the trumpets are, the real meaning of Rosh Hashanah. And I want you to get this picture. Because sometime in the future, the Bible says, according to this, there should be a blowing of the trumpets. Someday in the future, I believe the trumpet will be blown. And this is what it really means, Rosh Hashanah. The trumpet, the main idea of Rosh Hashanah is the gathering of God's people. That is the meaning. Someone says, what is Rosh Hashanah all about? Don't go, you can say all kinds of things. This one, give me one sentence, one meaning is the regathering of God's people. End of story. That's Rosh Hashanah. So what do I believe? In the future someday, trumpet's going to sound. Now, and God is going to regather His people. Well, someone says, wait a second. Hasn't God been regathering the Jewish people? Yeah, He has. The end of the 19th century, God was bringing the Jewish people back to Israel. It's a great study. How you see how God worked with Theodor Herzl and through the Dreyfus Affair, and how God brought all our Jewish people back to the land of Israel at the end of the 19th century into the 20th century. And God was bringing His people back. He's been doing it for about 150 years. God is regathering His people. But I do not believe the trumpet has sounded yet. I do believe one day in the future the trumpet will sound. And God, there'll be like a starting, a kickoff point, where God draws all the Jewish people back to the land of Israel for a purpose. I haven't mentioned that purpose yet. So Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the trumpet and the regathering of the God's people. Follow along. Isaiah chapter 27. In that day, the Lord will start us threshing from the flowing streams of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered one by one, O sons of Israel. This is Rosh Hashanah. One by one, from all the nations of the earth, God's bringing them back to the land of Israel. Today we see Jewish people back in the land of Israel from over 100 nations. But there'll be a starting point when He really sounds the trumpet, and they'll officially be in the land for a reason. He goes on, verse 13. It will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, the Rosh Hashanah trumpet. It will be blown, the ram's horn, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria, and those who were scattered in the land of Egypt, will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. I believe that's the fulfillment of Rosh Hashanah. God blowing the trumpet, and he gathers the Jewish people back to the land of Israel, and I keep saying, for a purpose. But I didn't tell you that yet. But I think God has another group of people at the sounding of the trumpet, and this is my speculation. Because I do see another trumpet being blown. I believe the fulfillment is for Israel, the regathering of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. But I think at the same time, I believe that trumpet will also blast and God's believers will go to meet the Lord in the air. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, written by Rabbi Saul. We read, I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who have died, those who are asleep, believers, so that you will not grieve as everybody else, the rest of the world who have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Yeshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And he goes on in verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. My speculation, not for sure, is that the trumpet will blast and God will regather the nation of Israel, Jewish people from all over the world, back to the land of Israel for a purpose, and believers to be with Messiah in the clouds forever. Someone said to me, said, do you think the tribulation's going to start tomorrow? I say, why? He says, well, the trumpet's going to blast tomorrow. It will. Some Rosh Hashanah, the trumpet will blast, and God will gather the Jewish people back to the land, and God will gather his believers to be with him in the clouds. And it says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, snatched up. That's the word, caught up or snatched up. We'll be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So now we got some picture of what's going on in time. We got the death of Messiah. We got the resurrection of the Messiah. We got his giving of his Holy Spirit. Now we got the gathering, Rosh Hashanah, gathering of our Jewish people back together. Now remember, we're still moving along on the timeline. The next Jewish holiday is where everyone gets confused. The next Jewish holiday is called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Now, the first thought that you all have, most of us have, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, everyone says, death of Messiah. Hold on. Everyone look up here. Rosh Hashanah, we're moving in time, right? Rosh Hashanah is the gathering of the Jewish people. Yom Kippur, we have to keep moving, but they say that's the death of Messiah. What was that? Passover. We're not going backwards. So people miss what Yom Kippur is all about. You see, I said God is going to gather his Jewish people back to the land of Israel, Rosh Hashanah. Then Yom Kippur will take place, the fulfillment of Yom Kippur. Follow along with me in Leviticus chapter 23. That God tells us to observe Yom Kippur. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, on exactly the 10th of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. That'll be the following week, beginning at Wednesday night. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You will humble your souls, present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you. You shall humble your souls on the 9th of the evening, always the night before, at sundown. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. The next Jewish holiday is the holiday of Yom Kippur. So people, if you say, what is the fulfillment? Everyone goes back to the death of Messiah. That's Passover. Well, then what is Yom Kippur really all about? Well, the real meaning, the real purpose of Yom Kippur was one word I want you to get, and that word is cleansing. Cleansing. The nation of Israel on the day of Yom Kippur was forgiven, was cleansed from all their sin for another year. What was it based on? Everybody look up here, everyone. The cleansing of the nation of Israel, the forgiveness of the nation of Israel was really based on what? Passover, death of Messiah. Of course, they did an offering, but it's all really based on Passover. That's the real offering. But see, the fulfillment of Yom Kippur is cleansing. It's always been cleansing. The nation. So I believe when God gathers the people back to the land of Israel, then he will cleanse the nation of Israel before the future kingdom. It's all about cleansing. Follow along with me in Ezekiel chapter 36, speaking of the future. It says, for I will take you from the nations. That's a picture of what will take place. Rosh Hashanah, when God sounds the trumpet, brings our people back from all the nations of the earth. gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. The reason we can get excited about this is the end time. This is when God calls our people back together. This is when he cleanses. The reason I'm excited, it's happening in our day. That means Yeshua's around the corner. And it says, I'll bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. That's cleansing. That's Yom Kippur. When God cleanses the nation of Israel from their sin. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, we'll learn about that in 2 weeks. He cleansed the nation from all their sin. That's what it really speaks about. I will clean, put clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Cleansing of the nation of Israel. Now, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, we don't have it up there. Jeremiah says that I will make a new covenant for the nation of Israel. And he says, I'm going to do 3 things for you. One, I'm going to write my law on your heart for the nation of Israel. Second, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. See, that's in the future. When God cleanses the whole nation of Israel. When they all know him from the least to the greatest, that's in the future. And he says, and I will forgive your sin as a nation. That's in the future. That's Yom Kippur. I want you to jot down another verse. Look it up later. Zechariah 13:1. It says, listen carefully. In that day, there will be a fountain open for cleansing for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The fountain will be in the future. That's Yom Kippur, the fulfillment. You see, God gathers his people, Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, he cleanses the nation of Israel. But remember I said there's an application for believers also. What happened to Rosh Hashanah for us, believers? We go up to be with him. But you have to be cleansed. Did you know that? What's going to take place if we get raptured today? Let me show you what's going to take place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For you all, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. If the rapture takes place today and we go to be with the Lord, you stand before him and he judges you. Not for your sin. Because Yeshua died for your sin. So you're in. Don't worry. You're in heaven if you put your trust in him. But you will be judged for the way you served him. And he will clean you up. And it says, so that each one may be recompensed, given back his deeds in the body according to what you've done, whether good or bad. God will judge you. You're in heaven. If you did bad, you suffer loss of rewards. If you did good, you get blessed and you shine forever. And look what it says in Revelation. It was given to her, that's the believers who were judged at the judgment seat of Messiah. It was given to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and clean. Nice white linen. It's not too white back then, anyway. White linen. And it says, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. How you served him. You will be judged at the judgment seat of Messiah. And then he will clothe you with rewards. The cleansed with the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, that's the dinner you want to be at, the marriage supper of the Lamb. First, he will bring you to heaven. Then he will judge you for the way you served him. He will clothe you with white robes and righteousness and crowns. And then you'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, there's cleansing for both the nation of Israel and for all of us. Finally, last Jewish holiday. Everyone, I said he'll gather the Jewish nation. He will cleanse them from their sin. Now that the nation of Israel is cleansed from all their sin, now you know what can happen? Because they're cleansed, God can live with them. God can't live among sin. So he will cleanse the whole nation. And that's, let me put it this way. God will live with them, dwell with them, tabernacle with them. He will build his sukkah with them. And he will live with them. That's the holiday of Sukkot. That's our final holiday. The Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. And in the order of Leviticus 23, it tells us, speak to the sons of Israel saying on the 15th of the 7th month is the Feast of Booths. That's when we'll build our sukkah outside. For 7 days to the Lord, you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall live in booths for 7 days outside your house. You build a little booth. Or you invite people over and you have dinners there and you keep the top open so you can see the stars. Congregation, we'll build one. We'll have one outside in a couple weeks for you. And it says, you shall live in these booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in the booths so that your generations afterwards may know something. What? that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. The holiday of Sukkot is supposed to remind Jewish people that 3,500 years ago, when God brought our Jewish people out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness, and they lived in tents for 40 years in the wilderness. And who lived in their midst? God's tabernacle was in their midst. He dwelt with them. So we're supposed to think when we build our booths how God preserved, watched over the nation of Israel. 3,500 years ago, God dwelt in their midst. And that was a picture of the future kingdom. When God will come and dwell in the midst of his cleansed and forgiven people. You see, God has a plan throughout the ages, through the Jewish holidays. Follow along in Zechariah chapter 14. In that day, his feet, that's Yeshua, he's coming back, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Now, if you've never been there, you need to go with me and stand on the Mount of Olives where his feet will rest. And I will show you, it'll split. Well, how's it say it will split? Okay, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. We stand on the east looking at the Golden Dome and looking at the Golden Gate. We look at the whole Temple Mount. And the Mount of Olives will split in the middle from east to west. Right where we're standing, it's going to split east to west that way. And it says there'll be a great valley. And half of it will move toward the north, half will move toward the south. So that it will come about, verse 16, will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year in the future to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. When will they go up? What does it say? What holiday? To celebrate what? Feast of Booths, because God is dwelling in the midst of his people. All the world will come up to Jerusalem because Messiah is dwelling in their midst. That's the fulfillment of all the Jewish holidays. Now, someone says to me, well, what about us as believers? Where will we be? Where will we be? Listen carefully. You will be wherever Yeshua is. That's all you need to know. Okay? Wherever Yeshua is. You know why? Because you have to get married. We have a date set. We'll be married. We'll be his bride. We're going to be married to the Messiah. Just like on June 21st, my daughter will be married to Joshua. I just had to throw that in. We have a date. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be married to Messiah someday in the future. We'll be with him. So that's the Jewish holidays. Now, follow along very briefly. The feasts of Israel are God's prophetic plan of what he's going to do for his people. So we always need a therefore. So what? Now, nice, Larry, you taught me something. What does that mean? Well, it means first, believers should live holy, godly, spiritual lives. I never want you to leave here with just knowledge. It's no good. Knowledge puffs up. We need to take the knowledge, the wisdom of God, and change our lives. If you're not living changed, holy, godly, spiritual lives, you're wasting your life. At that judgment seat of Messiah, you want the Messiah to look at you with a big smile. And you want him to say, well done. You did good. That's what you want. 2 Peter puts it this way. In 2 Peter 3, verse 10. We read, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. It's in the future sometime. And it says, and the earth will and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, it's going to happen. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You are called to live holy, godly, spiritual lives. You're called to speak the truth. You're called to be honest. You're called to live moral, upright lives. Immorality should not be mentioned among God's people. We are called to live holy and godly and righteously in holy conduct. Verse 12, 2 Peter 3, waiting for, excited, looking for the day, hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent. Love the word diligent. Be diligent, anxious, quick, to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, living for him today. I want a congregation from Shuva Yisrael that's different from all the congregations of the world. I do. I look for a congregation that is filled with biblical knowledge, that knows more than other congregations, and that wants to live godly and spiritual in this world. That's what God has called us to do, to live godly, holy, and spiritual. Be diligent to be found in Him. That's believers. Non-believers, because of all these things, what should you do? You should accept and believe in Yeshua today, because these things are going to happen. And I know I'm going to be with Him. And only those who put their trust in Him. We read in Acts chapter 3, therefore change. We don't like the word repent. It really just means change or turn. Repent and return. Shuva. That's our name of our congregation. Shuva Yisrael. Turn back to God. So that your sins might be wiped away. Anyone today who has never put their trust in Messiah, who lives in this left bubble, fine, wonderful, good people, but the sin is still on them, even though they're good. God says, turn, change today, so that He will forgive your sin. You don't have to wait to 2 weeks for Yom Kippur to beat your chest and ask God for forgiveness. Today is your day of forgiveness. And He says, change, turn, so that your sins might be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing, I just love this verse, the refreshing, may come from the presence of the Lord. On January 15th, 1972, God put a smile on my face. And I have to tell about it for the rest of my life. Until I die and go to be with Him, and I'll sing it for all eternity. Times of refreshing are for those who put their trust in Messiah. And it says, verse 20, and that He may send Yeshua the Messiah appointed for us to reign forever, and I will be with Him, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from ancient times. When I read that, I know it's going to happen. That's so exciting. Messiah is coming back. I can't wait, because I'm His and I belong to Him. And that's what He's calling all of us, as believers to live holy, as non-believers to accept Him, because God's prophetic plan will not be stopped. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the Jewish holidays, given not just to the Jewish people, but for the whole world to benefit through the redemption which comes through our Messiah, through the hope and the promise of resurrection in first fruits, to the giving of the Holy Spirit to live in all those who put their trust in Him. And Lord, we hopefully look forward to the time when You regather Your people, and we will stand before our Messiah, and You will cleanse us and give us righteous garments, and then we will marry You and be with You for all eternity. We thank You for Your picture, Your plan. We ask that all people would be part of it. Anyone in this room who might be ready to say, Lord, I am ready. Today, I would like to admit that I'm separated from You because of my sin. And I want to believe, and I put my trust that Yeshua came and died for me. I want to receive Him now, so the times of refreshing can be given to me. For we ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, let's all stand together. We want to conclude with a benediction. We get excited because we don't just get to see you next Saturday, Monday night, and then next Saturday, and then Wednesday night, and then Thursday night. This is a fun time. So even if you're bleary-eyed and tired, you come and we'll worship together. Let's all bow together for the benediction. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yisrael Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, Baruch Haba, B'shem Adonai, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. In our Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.